Week two, in the midst of the series Tepid, the enemy of wholeness. Now, last week, we established four things that I'm going to remind you of or teach you if you weren't here last week. Four things. First of all, wholeness is the end game of this series. Wholeness is what it's about. And I'm just going to tell you a clue for you to clap or get excited. When you see me yell and spray spit, I'm excited. Therefore, I might be saying something good. Here's a clue for you. The point of it all is wholeness. God, yeah, you can clap for that. I haven't even got warmed up yet. But God did not take on a diaper in the form of a baby, right? Grow up to become a man who took the nails and came out of the tomb so that you could live the rest of your life in brokenness. He came for your wholeness. So the point of it all is wholeness. Get your friendly finger out, not your driving finger, but your friendly finger. Point to your neighbor and say, it's about wholeness. And say, it's about your wholeness. It's all about wholeness. That's what we established last week. And then we also established last week that there is an enemy of wholeness. It's tepid. And we learned last week that you're all an ungrateful bunch of stinkers. I was very hurt last week because I offered a gift to everybody at both services from my heart, out of my own pocketbook. And no one received this gift. No one wanted this gift, thus proving you're a smart bunch, knowing that second thing that we established, that tepid is bad. Go ahead and say, tepid is bad. Or say it this way, tepid ain't good. Everybody said no to the tepid diet cherry Dr. Pepper and the tepid vanilla latte with 73 Splendas to hide the coffee taste. Nobody wanted this. You guys are smart people. You know that tepid ain't good, and you know intuitively that what John said in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, quoting Jesus when he said, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You know that tepid ain't good. We established thirdly, and this is where I felt smart, at least the first time I said it, and then I felt stupid when I tried to repeat it. From a 4th century B.C. Sanskrit transcript, that's where I had problems. From a 4th century B.C. Sanskrit transcript, we hear this ancient proverb which says, the enemy of my enemy is my, yeah. And so we learned last week, we established that there's an enemy of tepid, and therefore, since it's an enemy of tepid, it's a friend of wholeness, thus it's our friend. And that enemy of tepid was what? Do you remember? Wow. A little discouraged right now. Holiness! The point that we established yesterday or last Sunday is that holiness is an enemy of tepid. Now, y'all can't forget that. That's pretty huge. Somebody say holiness. 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 Now, they tell you you need to repeat something 7 times before you get it. So we got 5 more. Say holiness. 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 It's the enemy of tepid. This is what we established last week. And we also acknowledge that the thought of holiness is kind of like a bothersome trip to the dentist where you got to floss all the time, right? Or we established at best it's like a trip to eating Brussels sprouts and broccoli. And you remember what we said at worst it's like? A trip to the proctologist. But in establishing holiness as an enemy of tepid, we said that maybe we need a new vision, and we cast a little bit of vision that holiness is the thing that moves us into wholeness. Holiness is the thing that helps us live the life we've always wanted to live. Holiness. And we established a 4th thing last week, and that 4th thing that we established is that holiness is not an external act of behaving. It's not a do this, do that. It's not a don't do that, do this. It's a matter of the heart. Somebody say it's a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. It's all about the inside so that then the outside can be transformed. And it's why we say, whenever I say don't forget your joy boxes, you say, because it's about the insides. We established that holiness is an inside issue. It's about the heart. And so with that in mind, that's all review. I haven't even started teaching anything new yet. I'm going to tell you something new. By way of getting at something new, I'm going to do a little heart surgery metaphorically here. I'm going to just do some cutting into your heart so that you can see where your heart is in relation to this thing called tepid. And to do that, I'm going to hold up a word for you, and the new word for the day is divided. Go ahead and say this. Divided. No, I said say this. There you go. Gotcha. Divided heart is the concept for the day. Say, divided heart. This is what we're going to look at. And to do that, we're going to look at a dude by the name of Balaam. Does anybody know the story of Balaam? Balaam had a donkey who talked to him. I remember I met Balaam when I was a little kid in Sunday school because of flannel graph. How many of you have no idea what flannel graph is? No idea what flannel graph is. I'm just telling you right now, your life is not complete. You need to research flannel graph. It was amazing. There was this thing that they would put up made of flannel, and somebody painstakingly cut out all these little figures and donkeys, and wonder of wonders, you'd take the flannel figurines and you'd smack them on the flannel background and they would stick. It was as if the Holy Spirit was there working. Wow. I learned about Balaam and his donkey because of flannel graph. Now, all I remembered was that he had a donkey that talked. And I remember thinking, man, I wish my dog would talk. He had a donkey that talked. I loved Balaam's story, but I missed really the bigger picture of Balaam's story. Balaam. He was not an Israelite, but he was friends with the Israelites. And the Bible makes it clear that he was a man who actually heard from the Lord, because God does work beyond the Israelites and he includes all kinds of people in his kingdom. This is actually good news for you because you're not an Israelite. Say, that's good news. That's good news because you don't have to be like me to hear the Lord. You can be like you to hear from the Lord. Say, that is also good news. So Balaam heard from the Lord and he often would speak on behalf of the Lord. Now the Israelites here in Numbers 22, 23, and 24, had an enemy. There was a nation set against God's people. There was a move that was against what God was doing, and they were the Moabites. And we pick it up with the Moabites. The Moabites, we read in Numbers 22, sent messengers to Balaam to summon him. Come, they said, put a curse on the Israelites because they are too powerful for us. The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. Somebody say, fat cash. You got to say it a little cooler than that. Fat cash. I'm just telling you right now, the man was offered money to put a curse on God's people. He was offered some fat cash. Keep that in mind. But God said to Balaam, see, God does talk. And he'll talk to you like he talks to Balaam. It's not reserved for the special elite. He talks to a dude who wasn't even Israelite. He talked to Balaam and he said, do not go to them. You must not put a curse on the house of Israel because they are blessed. Now, is that confusing to anybody what God was saying? If it's confusing, go ahead and raise your hand because I can repeat it. God said, do not go. Don't do it. Stop it. Do not go. So here's what we have. We have a man named Balaam. We haven't yet met his donkey, but we will. We have a people who say, we're going to pay you some money. And then we have a God who says, don't do it. Have you ever found yourself in the midst of a similar conflict where there's a thing that kind of seems nice? I'd like some fat cash. But in the inner workings of your mind, you feel a nudge of the Spirit saying, don't do it. Has anybody ever felt the nudge of the Spirit telling you to not do that thing that might bring you fat cash? And maybe it's not fat cash that draws you in opposition to what the Lord wants. I don't know what it is for you. Is there something in your life that's similar to Balaam's fat cash offer that tugs against the will of God in your life? Here's what I'm going to guess. Yes, there is. Let me say it this way. There is something in your life that pulls you away from God's will for you and tempts you to live over here. It might not be cash. It might be the love of success. It might be the accolades of humanity. It might be peer pressure. It might be win at all costs. It might be, I have no idea what is it. I'm just guessing. But there's something in your world that is tugging you to go against what that Spirit is saying in your insides. What is it? So here's a man who hears from the Lord, this is good, who's tempted to go get the fat cash. What do you think he does? They came back to Balaam and they said, this is the Midianite folks, the Moabites. This is what Balak, son of Zippor, that's the king of the bad guys, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come, put a curse on these people for me. See, here's the deal. There is an enemy of your soul, and he ain't going to tempt you one time. If the enemy of your soul's only tempted you once, you would be living a life of victory, wouldn't you? Because it's easy to say one time, uh-uh. Let's just simplify this and be honest. How many of you said, you know what? I ain't going to eat that second piece of cake today. One time you can say it, can't you? But doggone it, you have to go through the kitchen to get to that other room a second time, don't you? You can't even resist cake a second time. And how do I know this about you? Because I can't either. See, there's an enemy that will come at you a second time. Come on! Let nothing hold you back. We'll give you whatever you want. Come this way. God said, don't go. They said a second time, come on. So Balaam was a man of devout heart, and he said, I ain't going to do it. We're standing. Is that what he said? See, had he said that, we would never have met his donkey. I'm kind of glad he didn't. The Bible says this, I'm reading now. So Balaam went with them, but God was very angry when he went. He went with them. He heard from the Lord, yet there was a tug on his heart to do something else. He went with them, and God was angry because of the division in his heart. Part of him wanted to do the right thing. Part of him wanted to get the fat cash. Part of him wanted to do what God wanted him. The other part wanted to do what people wanted him. He was divided, and God was angry. And so God gave voice to his donkey. This is the end of chapter 24 of the book of Numbers. The Lord put an angel in Gideon's path. Not Gideon. We're not talking about Gideon right now. We're talking about Balaam. Balaam's path. Balaam couldn't see it because when he followed the division in his heart away from the things of God, he lost his ability to see the things of God. Repeat after me. Ooh. You might have missed that. I'm going to say it again. Because he followed the division in his heart away from God, he lost his ability to see the things of God. There was an angel in his path, and he missed it. And when we walk away because our hearts are divided into things that don't seem bad but aren't what God has for us, we miss what God has right in front of us. And there might be people, might, there isn't might. There are people in this room right now who are missing an obvious sign of the Lord because you're walking out of a divided heart. Amen, baby. So God gave voice to his donkey. The donkey saw the angel. What's another word in the Bible for donkey that rhymes with pass? You can say that because that's what it is, right? In your King James Bible, the donkey. The donkey saw the angel and tried to turn around, and in turning around, he hit Balaam's leg on the wall. And Balaam was mad at his donkey. Turned him back around, and he did it three times. The donkey turned on. So Balaam beat his donkey. Just beat him. You see, when we miss what the Lord has before us because of a divided heart, we stoop to beating donkeys and yelling at things that we shouldn't be yelling at. And so God gave voice to the donkey, and the donkey said, hey, why are you beating me, man? Why are you hitting me so hard? There's an angel, and I saved your life. And Balaam says, because you hit my leg. I'm thinking, man, your donkey's talking, and you're not impressed at this? You see, when you walk out into a divided heart, you miss the miraculous. And you argue with a donkey. The foolish things become wise when you walk out of a divided heart. And you miss the move of the Lord. The Lord gave voice to a donkey. He didn't even acknowledge the donkey talking. He just was arguing with his donkey. But it was the donkey, I'll say it one time, the ass, which also, if you read the Bible in other places, is used interchangeably with the fool. The foolish one became the wise one. And the one who was supposed to be wise was the foolish one, because he walked into and out of a divided heart. And so we read the rest of his story as seen in the book of Joshua. He went ahead and he did his thing. He never cursed the Israelites because God told him not to, so he didn't. He just was hanging out in places he shouldn't have been hanging out with. Later on in another story, when the Israelites were fighting against another nation that was set against God's work, the Israelites, in addition to those slain in the battle against another people, the Israelites put to the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination. He didn't learn from his donkey. Had he learned from that donkey on that day and realized, you know what, I can't be doing this, his life would have gone on much longer. But because he kept doing that thing, living a divided heart, listening to the Lord, but yet offering curses whenever it was convenient to him, because he continued to live out a divided heart, he never entered into the fullness of the promise God had on his life. I'm going to go say that over there because that was pretty good. And y'all need to hear this. Because he walked out of a divided heart, he never experienced the fullness of the blessings of the promises the Lord had for him. His life was cut short, and he missed all the good things God had because he lived a divided heart, listening to God and serving humanity. Balaam is an idiot. And I'm often an idiot too. Now here's what I think about you. Y'all a bunch of idiots at times as well, aren't you? Yep. Hey, if you're visiting for the first time, I want you to know that you're also an idiot. So we all do this thing of Balaam. There's this thing we want to do, the thing we know we ought to do. It's a tug on the heart, like his ability to hear. And yet there's that other thing, whether it's the fat cash, whether it's the success, the winning, the approval of others. There's that other thing that just leads us to be dumb, like he was dumb. And when we're dumb, like he was dumb, we miss the fullness of the promises in our life. A divided heart is not a good thing. Balaam. Let me introduce you more quickly to another man. Did you hear me say more quickly? Is that good news to anybody? Whew, he's going to be done sooner. There's another guy. Whereas Balaam lived a divided heart, torn, there was another guy in the Bible that I'm going to introduce you to in a minute, who the Bible says he was wholehearted. And because he was wholehearted, he walked into the promises the Lord had for him. See, the story is found a little earlier in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. What has happened is God had just delivered his people from captivity. And what was true then is true now. God still delivers people out of captivity. If you've ever been in captivity, you ought to at least say amen to that. God still takes people out of their junk and moves them into freedom. And the people of Israel were about ready to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. It was all that they needed. And so Moses, right on the cusp of moving into the promised land, sent 12 spies into the land. Oh my goodness, though. The people over there, they were big and scary. And their walls, so let me read to you what the people reported. The 10 of the spies came back and gave Moses this account. Now, if you knew anything about Hebrew, that's the inflection tone that's implied there. Somebody say whiny. That's not true. It's not really there. I'm just making it up. We went into the land, Moses, to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. They brought some fruit, and it was awesome fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. Not Anak's descendants. I don't know who he was. He must have been a bad dude. They're big. So these 10 spies of the 12 said, we can't go, Moses. I know God delivered us back then, but the we just got to live here in this middle place. These knuckleheads had seen the Lord bring the 10 plagues against Pharaoh. You ought to look that up. The 10 plagues were amazing. These knuckleheads had seen the Lord part the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground that once was wet and fishy. These dudes had seen the Lord close that sea back up over Pharaoh's army and set them free. These people, not so long ago, were dancing a jig because of all the amazing things God had done. And yet when they came on another hurdle, that hurdle was just too big because they forgot. They forgot what God had done. See, when you forget what God has done, pay attention now, when you forget what God has done, the obstacles ahead of you seem insurmountable. But when you remember, like our hero I'm soon to name, when you remember what God has done, that obstacle ain't nothing big. When you remember all the amazing things God has done in your life and the lives of people around you and throughout history, the obstacles before you are something you can step over easy. That is an awkward church clap. I will not let that go. And here's why. I've seen you all at ball games. I've seen you at movies. I've seen you in orchestra play. You all go crazy elsewhere. And when you hear powerful news at church, you don't clap. Come on. You're going to get this. There will be a natural outpouring of joy as you move into the things here. If you're visiting from a new church, if this is now your church home, you can't bring lethargy and staring at me during the teachings. There's something expected of you when you come to this place. A sermon ain't a sermon when somebody teaches at somebody. A sermon is a sermon when people interact around the powerful word of God. So I was saying there was another dude who didn't forget what God had done. And because he remembered what God had done, he saw these big, bad people, the descendants of Anak, and he saw victory to be had. And his name was Joshua and his buddy Caleb. Caleb silenced the people, Numbers 13. He silenced the people before Moses. We should go up, the Bible says, and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You see, everybody else was saying, you can't do that. Everybody else was putting an obstacle up, kind of like Balaam had an obstacle. Balaam's obstacle was fat cash. Caleb's obstacle was pressure of others. But Caleb stood in the face of all kinds of pressure and said, y'all got it wrong. We can do this, because he remembered what the Lord had done. Unfortunately, the people went with the 10 and they ignored Caleb and Joshua. And so the Lord said, that's not good. So here's what's going to happen. Those of you who forget what I have done, you're not going to enter into the promised land. You will live in limbo between captivity and the promised land. And when you all die, I'll let your kids and their kids go into the promised land. And so all of those people who came out of slavery because they were scared and whiny, they did not get to go into the promised land. But Caleb got to go. Because this is what the Bible says about him. You want to hear what the Bible says about him? Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me, here's the word, wholeheartedly. Because he follows me wholeheartedly, not division in his heart, not a divided heart, an undivided heart, a whole heart. Because he follows me with his whole heart, I will bring him into the land he went to. And his descendants after him will inherit it. When you walk with the Lord wholeheartedly, you get to experience the joy of the promise of the blessing. Wholehearted. divided heart. So I asked you last week what I'm going to ask you again this week. I'm going to ask you to do the courageous thing, to look, to do some heart surgery of your own. Is your faith divided? Is your heart divided, or is your heart whole? Tepid. It's the enemy of wholeness.